The fact that Israel managed to shoot down so many of the rockets and the drones fired by Iran from multiple places, the fact that Israel shoots down rockets and missiles of all shapes and sizes on a daily basis really is amazing. I mean, the technology, this is such an impressive feat of the human mind. What it is not is a victory. And shockingly, not only Biden, while urging Netanyahu not to respond militarily to this act of war on Israel, in his I can only say in a cynical manner, refer to it as victory. But I've been hearing people in Israel refer to it as a victory as well, and making fun of Iran's capabilities. But beyond that, this has been something that Israel has used as an excuse for a long time not to act against Hamas, because the rockets, we shoot most of them down. Most of the ones we don't shoot don't hurt anybody. Once in a while, person dies here and there, no biggie. And the same has been the excuse with Hezbollah. This is why. I think I don't think we went overboard with this headline that Israel's defense capabilities are its worst enemy. I mean, in a sense, it's Israel's bad ideas that are governing it that are its worst enemy. But this is used as an excuse. Israel allows things to happen that no country would allow if it were actually it had to act. Daniel, your thoughts. Welcome, by the way, to the Daily Objective. It is day 192, I believe, of the war in Israel. Daniel.
So when people refer to, the defense of Israel, this defense of the Iron Dome as victory, it is victory in a very small and non-important sense. I mean, it is showing, Israel's capabilities and what it is capable of when it was able to defend itself from against 300 more than 300, drones, rockets and all that. But unfortunately, Iron Dome, despite how great it is, it has become the symbol of Israel's refusal to act. It's sort of hiding behind the Iron Dome. There is this sort of idea that because we can, just hide behind Iron Dome, because we can reasonably nothing bad will happen. I mean, most of it, almost everything was shut down. Unfortunately, one little girl was injured. I'm not sure if we know now if she was able to be saved or if something worse happened. But even then, it costed more than $1 billion. It's not like this is free. And the idea that Israel can just, stand here and hide behind it is ridiculous. I mean, even some comments from the war cabinet were like, insane. Like, we knew this attack was coming, and we knew after Iran shot them, we knew it was coming, yet there was no response. I mean, before the Six-Day War, as soon as Egypt started acting towards Israel in a way that could mean war, Israel decided, okay, we will start this war, and we will finish it fast and quickly. But now there have been comments, again, from the war cabinet. There were some arguing that Israel should act preemptively, but the others from the war cabinet were saying, well, we don't know how bad this attack will be. We don't know if we'll have the sort of international legitimacy if no one dies. Just because if someone shoots at you, and you manage to dodge it, or if you or you manage to defend yourself somewhat, it doesn't mean, okay, nothing happened, we can just go on our way. No, he still shot at you. Something has to be done. There has to be a response. You cannot ignore the fact that it happened. And this is basically what Israel's war cabinet is doing. Some are arguing for some limited action, but again, this was an act of, like, if Israel didn't defend itself, th this attack would completely like destroy, maybe not completely destroy Israel, but it would like be a huge damage on Israel. And the fact that Israel was able to defend itself doesn't take away from what Iran was trying to do. The reason why it was so many in such a short time, and it was also time that the different drones and rockets were shot at a different time, so they would come at all at once. It was in order to overwhelm Israel's defense. It wasn't just to, showcase that they can shoot. No, the purpose was to attack Israel and to try to destroy it. And even if you, let's say, okay, Israel was able to shut everything down. I mean, not only long after that, Hezbollah attacked or shot rockets at Israel, and some people died there. Are we just gonna ignore that Israel is keep get you know there's rockets coming in Israel like every day, and Israel is not gonna act just because not enough people died?
Yeah, I'm not sure you're right that this wasn't just to showcase their abilities. I think Iran is playing this game much better than Israel is. I'll elaborate that later on that later on today's show, one of today's shows. But you mentioned something about cabinet ministers wanting to act, and according to reports, it's interesting. The same cabinet ministers who wanted to act on October 7th against Hezbollah wanted to act immediately against Iran, and according to some reports wanted to attack in Tehran, which is significant. And the same the same spineless leader who said no, we can't do it against Hezbollah on October 7th, also said no after getting a call from Biden, decided to take the win and not act. And there's a comment in the chat saying it is the prerogative of the Israeli government how to decide how to answer Iran. Look, it's the job of the government to protect its citizens. It's not that they can decide, okay, you know what, we're shutting this place down, which is basically what they're doing. And we'll talk about that on the reality show, but they are slowly killing the country by allowing its enemies to attack and get away with it time and time again. Thank you, Wes, for the super chat. Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Enric. Thank you, Bonnie, again. Bonnie says, Caroline Glick, well, this is a quote from Caroline Glick on X. The quote is, the Biden administration approved Iran's massive missile strike against Israel ahead of time. That is the end of the quote. Does she have facts for this? I don't know. I have seen what you've shown me on this. I think the whole way this is played out was definitely this was more of a diplomatic warfare. Iran said they're going to attack. They said it for a while. Yeah, Daniel, as you mentioned, Israel in the past, when its enemies said they're going to attack, not only believed but acted preemptively. This time, Israel didn't act preemptively. Iran attacked. It immediately said, "We've done our part. We're not going to continue this unless Israel responds." And then Biden calls Netanyahu and tells Israel not to respond. It all played out, in a very very scripted way. But was it actually scripted, as in Iran told Biden and then made sure they shoot down the missiles? I don't believe that, unless unless I'm shown evidence to the contrary. In either case, either scenario is bad. It's in either case, Israel and the West are showing that countries can get away with things that aren't too bad. And the longer you let Iran get away with things that are supposedly not too bad, the longer they have time to build their capabilities to do something that is too bad. And when it is too bad, it'll be too late to try to prevent them from doing anything diplomatically, Daniel.
So first, I want to comment on the comment you've read about the it is a prerogative of Israel government how to decide to answer to Iran. So I really hate this kind of statements. The similar I've been hearing here in Slovakia after new government was elected, and it's like, well, you have to respect the will of the people and what they've elected. But whenever I criticize Israel, or whenever I criticize, let's say, Biden or Slovak government, I'm not criticizing the institution. I'm not like criticizing Israel as a country, or the idea of a parliamentary republic or something like that. Whenever we criticize it is because of that. So, when there is a government, when there is a representative government, it's supposed to do something. And in our view, it's supposed to defend its citizens. And whenever it doesn't do that, we will call that out. We are not attacking the institution. We are attacking the fact that it's not doing what it's supposed to do. And in this case, it is not actually defending its own citizens by not responding. And, some people were talking about, Iran had to respond after what happened in Syria, right? So we should just let them, because they will not do anything afterwards. It was just a response to this, and if we don't escalate, it won't go further. I mean, why would you want to appease that? Why would you want to give in? I mean, maybe it was from their part, just some sort of force towards their people that, there is a response when something, when someone attacks us. But why would you want to give in? Why would you want to let them have this? No, you have to remember, or, when people make comments about rights, or Iran's right to defend itself. It doesn't have any right to defend itself. It is an illegitimate country. It has no rights. I mean, honestly, Israel could nuke Iran and it would still not have the right to defend itself because it is a theocratic di dictatorship. It has no rights. It doesn't recognize any rights and therefore doesn't get any rights.
Yeah, by the way, that was David Cameron, Britain's despicable foreign minister, who said Iran had the right to respond to the bombing of the IRGC building, and but the response was disproportionate or some such bullshit.
Yeah, let me just quickly point in because Frank in the chat has Iran has no right to defend itself. It is the aggressor. That doesn't matter. Even if Iran wasn't, let's say, in this case, aggressor, which if you want, you could make the case, Israel attacked in Syria first. I mean, there's been long past before, but let's say if this was true, Israel would still have the right to do whatever it wants to the dictatorship of Iran. I mean, the only question is if it is in Israel's self-interest to do so, and in this case, it definitely is. But the fact if Iran was the aggressor is non-essential. It is the fact that it is a dictatorship. It has no rights.
Yeah, and yet, Britain's foreign minister said what he said, and then publicly urges Israel not to act in retaliation, which is Israel's allies, so-called allies, running theme here. Israel gets attacked, and then they're allies. They're allies when Israel is attacked. Once Israel defends itself, Israel's allies are no longer allies, and again, the problem with the defensive capabilities is certainly not that they exist. That's a great thing. It is the fact that they are ideologically misused, if we're gonna put it that way. They are used as you mentioned, and I think we said this yesterday as well. Imagine if everything hit. So the same exact actions by Iran that they took 2 nights ago would have then been legitimacy would legitimize Israel in acting militarily, proportionately, but proportionately would have meant thousands die, I guess. So yeah, this whole idea around how and when Israel acts militarily is how successful is an attack, and we know the goals of all the attacks, and some of them are not going to be successful. But all of them have the same goal, which is to exterminate the Jews, to kill all the people in Israel. That is why, when you say the Israeli government, it's their prerogative to, no, it's their job. They have a job. They have one job. and that is to defend the citizens, and they have to figure out, how exactly to act and where, what targets, and so on. But no, it is not a legitimate choice of the government to decide, you know what, an act of war has taken place, and we're gonna sit and do nothing in response, which is what they're currently doing. Now, there are reports that they might be acting soon, but even then, it's too late. Saturday night was too late, would have been too late. A country tells you they're going to attack, has already attacked you through proxies on a daily basis for months, and on a less daily basis for many years. No, the right course of action would have been to attack a long time ago. And I think your response to Frank was basically a country like Iran has, because it's a totalitarian regime, it has no legitimate case against against any country. But in terms of Israel, Israel, for their own purposes, if they went to some dictatorship somewhere, I don't know, North Korea, and decided they're gonna re change the regime to protect, that is not a correct course of action, because it's a violation of their job, to the people who put them in that job, and the people they're meant to defend. There's no purpose to that. With Iran, it would have been the right course of action decades ago, would have been the right course of action 6 months ago. It's the only acceptable course of action after Saturday night.
So someone in the chat was saying when I said about the Iran doesn't have the right to defend itself, utter nonsense. Iran is a member of the UN Security Council. United Nations is an illegitimate organization, and one of the reasons why is because of this. Is because it puts countries such as Iran, but mainly Russia and China, on the same on the same level as Western nations. So the idea that it is in the UN doesn't mean anything. And then I had a couple of points about, so yeah, the Iron Dome and what happens after the fact. So because Israel was able to defend itself, there is serious lack of response. And I've even seen some comments, I think this is from Getz. Faced with the threat of Iran, we will build a regional coalition and exact the price from Iran in the way and at the time that suits us. So it might mean never. I mean, when there is a response, when something like this happens, you have to respond and you have to respond fast. But because of the way it happened, Israel has lost any sort of sympathy. Pretty much immediately, it didn't have any sympathy. There was a difference in sympathy on October 7 when Israel had a chance to actually do something big and do something quick, but it doesn't have it here anymore. And the problem again with this Iron Dome is, so we were supposed to have, there was a Rafah date, and it was supposed to be, I'm not sure even if over the weekend or like in like a couple of days, like pretty soon. And again, because of this, it was delayed now again. But why was it? What has changed? It's not like Israel is busy because it's going to attack Iran or going to do something in Iran. So the fact that now both of these have been delayed, real because as if I remember correctly, there were all the IDF troops going into Gaza to basically prepare for it. So yeah, the fact that neither of this is going to happen, I mean, what do you think, Ramzi?
So I'll tell you in a second what I think. I just was taken aback by that comment from somebody who's a regular in the chat, and didn't like when I called him a troll last time, but his comments are often well, always in disagreement with us. But I did kind of want to Google that. And no, Iran is not currently a member of the Security Council. Yeah, it is. It doesn't matter one way or the other. It is not a legitimate body within not a legitimate body. But yeah, it's just factually incorrect. But China and Russia are permanent members, which should tell you everything you need to know about the UN Security Council, and Iran is often a body of all sorts of women's rights. From time to time, it's Iran, Saudi Arabia, all these countries. So yeah, everything about the UN is a joke, and the West is funding that joke and making it into a serious thing. Anyway, yeah. So Rafa, I don't know what's going on. I don't think it would have happened over the weekend because soldiers are being recruited nowadays. Soldiers have been called up in recent days and are being called up this week. I don't know. I have to say, I don't know that Rafa. I said in the past, I assume it's not happening. Certainly not on the scale that it was planned. I also said I hope I'm wrong. I still hope I'm wrong. Why they're recruiting soldiers, I guess we'll find out. But and the same goes for Iran. I'm not sure that nothing's going to happen. I'm sure that not enough is going to happen, because what needs to happen is regime change, and whatever action leads to regime change, including whatever action could be done covertly or to support the opposition in Iran, which is massive, and is waiting for any help, and now is the moment where I think they should be given that help. So, yeah, and the defense capabilities of Israel, they proved very, very impressive on Saturday night. Very, very impressive. Like nothing like that has ever been seen, defense wise. But we don't know what would happen if it was 10 times as many drones and rockets, and Hezbollah and Hamas all got involved. Hamas now is able to fire rockets from Gaza, not as much as before, but they still are. Hezbollah, nobody's stopping them from doing anything. So, yeah, a full-scale attack, which this obviously was not and not intended to be, I don't know how Israel would deal with, but I do know that such an attack today, however bad it may be, is nothing compared to what such an attack will be 5, 10, 20 years from now, whenever it is that Iran feels it is ready to shoot not drones that move so slowly that they're waiting to be shot down, but ballistic missiles with nuclear warheads. So, yeah, Daniel.
And the whole way people are talking about this, even when they're telling Israel not to retaliate because of this one attack, this is completely wrong way of thinking about it. It is not just this one attack. I mean, this has been the most recent thing, but Iran has been funding Hamas and the Houthis and Hezbollah and Iraqi proxies for a long time now. And when we are talking about this Iranian attack on Israel, it was not just Iran, it was also the Houthis and, as I said, Iraqi proxies. So the fact that people are talking about just this one attack, it is a complete wrong way to think about it. And one more point I want to make about, and I think you mentioned this earlier, about what exactly Iron Dome is. And I think, and you said it's used wrong intellectually or morally, but I think it's even like practically the way Israel uses Iron Dome, it seems to be like the first thing to go to instead of like the last sort of wall of defense that it has. It uses this, now that Iran tried to attack, it is like the first thing that they use instead of preempting or trying to do something else. And I think even practically it seems like this technology is being misused.
Like we said, Iron Dome was a great way to shoot down the rockets that Hamas has been firing for decades. To begin, and those rockets have improved over time. First, they were mostly targeted at Jewish villages, settlements, as they are called, inside the Gaza Strip. And at Sderot, which is nearby, and then at other places, which are right ne next to the border, and then further and further. And Israel, didn't want to act militarily to prevent that. And to the extent that Iron Dome is successful, it has always been used as an excuse not to act in Gaza. What we got from Gaza eventually should tell you what the people who say they want to wipe Israel off the map, to what extent they mean it, which is to the extent that they will give their life to that cause and have done so. So it's I think it's a it's very unfortunate. But again, just to make it clear, titles for YouTube videos can't be too long, and we don't want them to be as long as they can be, because we want to like make a slight point and then elaborate on it over 30 minutes to an hour. So within that, yeah, I think it's great to have those systems as mentioned, but no, use them when necessary, and destroy your enemy so that they don't become necessary or stay necessary. Thank you, Jonathan, for the super chat. Daniel.
Yeah, so I don't think I have much to say at the end. I mean, I'll have one message at the end, as always. So yeah, I think I would just emphasize my main point that, yeah, unfortunately, or Iron Dome is this really great technology, and the fact that Israel was able to defend itself s very successfully. I mean, there was one girl that was in critical condition, unfortunately, but the fact that this was, so mild is a great testament to, Israeli ingenuity and what they are capable of. And if only they use this to actually fully defend their own citizens, I think we would live in a much nicer Middle East that we could visit for great vacations. Unfortunately, until Israel does that, we'll have to wait. Or US, I mean, either way would be good.
Yeah, and it took me a while to realize that the troll in the chat actually said that Iran is a member of the Security Council, so that we spent some time Googling. So yeah, maybe I'll practice what I preach and not feed the trolls anymore. Thanks everybody for watching. I know another title that is controversial is today's episode of the reality show, which is titled "The Slow Death of Israel." We will also spend an hour explaining why that is the case. Unfortunately, I very much believe it is. It's death by suicide. It's not necessary, but that is what Israel is doing. And if you agree or even disagree, but think there's value in this content and these ideas being a part of the conversation, then consider liking, commenting, sharing, or subscribing if you're not subscribed. And if you think there's real value in it, also consider becoming a member and supporting our work, and you'll have access to lots of additional content. And thanks everybody. Daniel.
Iran de l'Est.